Ghosty fam, Amy here. Welcome to The Activity Continues, a podcast where three soul friends talk about all things paranormal. Ghosts, hauntings, psychics, movies and TV shows, especially The Dead Files, and other spooky and spooky adjacent things. We also like to interview people in the paranormal community, as well as past Dead Files clients and other interesting people. Sometimes we even tell your stories. I hope you enjoy the show. Hello. Hello. Thanks for joining us again. In this episode, we sat down with Beverly McChesney. And wow, we had a really interesting conversation.
Delight.
We talked about a lot of stuff.
We could have gone on for another 2 hours with her.
Yes, we could have. And I just wanted some content warning. We did talk about pregnancy and
miscarriages
and abortion was mentioned, but very,
very like a sentence was,
just,
but
yeah,
it's there.
So just so that you know that if you want to go into that with ease, if that's the thing for you. I don't think there was much else. We didn't even swear that much. And then we got like halfway in and then we were like, she said she stopped herself from swearing. And I was like, oh, I forgot to tell you. You can say whatever you want. And then we let the fuckers fly. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, because I said shit. And then I said, oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. Because she looks like a wholesome grandmother who's going to bake you cookies.
Yeah.
And so I said shit. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. She's probably so offended. She's like, I say worse than that.
Yeah. I was like, well, I wish we'd said something in the beginning. We could have been swearing this whole time.
I wish I would have been like, how the fuck are you, Beverly? That might have been too much out of the gate.
That might have been a little bit much out of the gate. But yeah, it was fun. We had a good conversation. So we hope you enjoy it. I can't believe I didn't start recording right away.
It's okay.
It's because I got all flummoxed. I'm like, she's here. We better let her in. I do want to do a couple little housekeeping things. We are thinking about going back to doing every single week releases, Dead Files-ish related. And we'll still do the sideshows. Those will be just for patrons like normal, but let us know if you would like more episodes or if you think we have enough that you're already getting having a hard time keeping up. Oh, another thing is I just released a survey for people to take and it's just questions about the show. How are we doing? Do you think we should do more episodes, less episodes, more of this, less of that? Da da da. It's, I don't know. I didn't time how long it takes. It's quite a few questions, but what you get for it is you get an email back with the bingo cards.
And the joy of helping us, which is the true prize.
And the joy of helping us. And I do believe you could do it, you know, anonymously if you didn't want to put your email in or maybe make a fake email, but then you wouldn't get the bingo cards.
Yeah.
So just want to let you know that's it. So that's what we've got for you guys. Hope that you enjoy our conversation with Beverly McChesney. Hello, and thank you for joining us. I must apologize to you, dear listener, and to Beverly. As you know, we record our sideshow episodes just before we record our regular episodes. And what I do is I stop the recording after that, and then I restart it when we start the regular episode so that it creates two separate files. Well, this time I was flummoxed and flustered because Beverly was in the waiting room, and I didn't want to make her wait any longer. So I just let her in and we started talking. We were chatting about her companies, and then I looked at my screen and I was like, something is wrong. It looks different. So after poking around a bit, I realized, yep, you guessed it. I didn't restart the recording. She was in the middle of a story about working at a haunted horse racing track when I realized it and hit record. So here's what you missed. Beverly is part of a company called Mama Rubies, and they produce metaphysical events. They have several events coming up, including a two-day festival in March called the Light It Up Fest. You can find more by going to mamarubies.com or their Facebook page, facebook.com/mamarubiesshows. You can find all her info on beverlymcchesney.com. All the links are in the show notes. We asked her about how she discovered her abilities, and she started telling us about when she was working at a horse racing facility and she found some riding gloves on the floor. Beverly will tell you what happened next. I think you're caught up. So, on with the show.
the riding gloves. And so I picked him back up and put him back on the credenza. And I thought, okay, somebody wants me to leave. And about that time, the cordless phone went flying across the room. And I thought, okay, I'm out of here. I'm gone for the night. So I had that kind of experiences wow. there. They just wanted me out. And mm-hmm. that's the place that I ever saw an honest to goodness apparition that I thought was going to get in my car with me.
Ooh.
So.
Yikes.
That was, that's something.
Yeah.
Did you tell it to go away or did it just automatically decide not to take a ride with you?
I didn't quite know what to do. This place was a beautiful horse farm mm-hmm. and had a very long, maybe quarter to half mile driveway. And it was lined with big trees. And when you got to this massive, giant wooden gate, you had to be back and give it a chance to automatically open.
Sure.
And I was pulling up to let the gate open. And I thought, is that a child standing by the rock post there at the gate? And I thought, what is that? And I looked and I thought, wait a minute, I'm seeing through that. Mm-hmm. And at that point, it's like, oh, it turned and looked at me and I realized it wasn't a child. It was a jockey.
Oh.
And yeah, it was a jockey. And so I thought, okay, what do I do? Do I hit the brake? Do I go backwards? Do I rush the gate? What do I do? Do I sit here? And so as my mind was trying to grab some kind of idea, it had looked at me and it glided over this tree that was between the gate and me, like about halfway between. And it glided over. And I thought, if that comes towards my car, I'm hitting the gas and going backwards. I don't care where I go.
Mm-hmm.
And it started out from behind the tree and then it just disappeared.
Was this at night or what time?
Yes.
It
was dark. It was like 7 or 8 o'clock, but it was probably mm-hmm. just 6 or 7 o'clock, you know, sure. in the winter, but dark. And so that one, that's the only full blown apparition.
It's interesting that you worked with horses or on a horse farm. You would think, did the horses ever react differently when stuff was happening? Or
it was interesting. You could stand on the clocker's tower in the middle of the track.
What's that?
And it's called the clocker's tower. It's a tower in the middle of the racetrack, the training track.
Okay.
And you would stand up on it to clock the horses or to film them or to do that. So you could stand on top of the clocker's tower and you could hear hoofs coming toward you. You'd hear them go in front of you and then fade away. And sometimes you would see the back end of a horse with a black coat and a man's leg. You just see a quick image of that.
Really?
We couldn't keep night watchmen because they all saw a man in a long black coat bringing a horse to the barn. And when they went there, there was nobody.
Yeah.
Wow. So we could not keep. There were so many stories from that place.
Did the horses react to any of the spirits?
Well, I don't really know because I wasn't around the horses that much.
Oh, okay.
I was more in the office.
Okay.
I know that if they were on the track, when people would hear that particular thing, they would sometimes balk or react like something was coming up behind them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was interesting.
That is interesting. Yeah. You're braver than me. As soon as anything happened, I'd be like, I quit. I'm out. I can't. Mm-mm.
Well, it always seemed, except for that, always seemed gentle. Always just seemed.
Yeah.
And there was a lot. Well, they weren't always gentle. One time a bungee cord.
Well, now that I think about it.
My boss lived on the farm in an old cabin. Mm-hmm. And he had asked me to go and put his dog in the crate, which I did, and you had to bungee the crate because the dog would get out. And I was all the way across the room, and I took one last look back, and the bungee cord came off and hit me, went across the room. And
oh, my gosh.
So at that point, that was the only time, though, that it was.
The dog was like, thank God I'm free, and then he ran out. He was in cahoots with the spirit.
Yeah, I think so.
He's like, if you break me out, I'll let you do whatever you want with the bungee cord.
Yeah, it's really, you know, when you asked me about investigations, I was thinking about specific events, mm-hmm. but that place, just being there was an investigation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How long did you work there?
I was there probably three or four years.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. A few years anyway. It was this beautiful, magical place.
Yeah, I bet.
Except for the horse training.
On TikTok, I follow somebody who has a horse farm in Tennessee, Running Springs. And mm-hmm. so it's her foaling season now. So we're all on baby watch to wait for the foals to come.
Yeah.
She has some pretty, pretty, pretty horses.
I think I've seen that link before, maybe.
Katie Van Slyke is her name.
Oh, I recognize that name.
She is cuter than a button. Her. She is so cute. And she has the most, I mean, I'm afraid of horses. So like I will admire them from afar. But these, because they're just so big. Like they are so big and they are smart. They are so smart. But yeah, she has a bunch that are getting ready to have their babies. So
they're precious. But I love the horses and I love the riders. I love the staff. I just did not like horse training because some horses would say to me they didn't want to race. They didn't want to do that.
Oh, and that's so hard.
That really upset me.
Some
horses, they lived and breathed for it.
Yeah.
And others are like, I don't want to. I don't want to run races. So
that's tough. That's got to be really hard.
Yeah.
That was the hardest part.
I'm sure. And you can't very well go up to the people and be like, this horse said he doesn't want to do it. So
I tried a couple times. Well, my boss, fortunately, had so many paranormal experiences on the farm. He was fairly open.
Oh, good.
To what I would tell him. But that particular part didn't matter because it was a hire for, training farm. So.
It's a money making thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's too bad.
So obviously you can speak to animals and hear or intuit what they're saying. Is that something that just like automatically comes to you and then the animal is like, oh my God, you can hear me? Or like, how does that work? Like if you're going to talk to an animal?
Well, honestly, anyone can. You send them pictures with your mind and you wait and hear envision what picture might come back.
Oh my God. I'm totally doing that tonight with my cat Marshmallow.
Yes, absolutely do it.
I've done that. I've done that with my dogs.
Send them pictures and they will send you pictures back.
I haven't gotten any back, but I have sent pictures. Like when I try to tell them.
Are you doing it with Digby? Because I feel like there's not a lot going on.
There's just a lot of air up there. No, I used to do it with Fozzie all the time, our dog that recently passed.
Sorry.
He was very, very smart. But I used to try to send him a picture of, like, I was trying to get him to go potty one time. And all I was thinking of is a picture of him going potty. Mm-hmm. And then I realized, well, he doesn't see a picture of himself going potty. So how do I send him a picture of him going potty when he doesn't even know what he looks like? Mm-hmm.
Well, they do understand, though, being outside and squatting and doing. So you can tell them that they don't know maybe it's them or who it is, but they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So I've had some, usually I don't go out of my way to speak to them because I'm not the best animal communicator. It's just something that I can do some and I don't focus on that. But in a lot of personal readings that I'm giving people, their pets will come and talk.
Oh,
and I had
in the room, like you'll be sitting there and like the dog, oh my gosh, that's cool.
They realize that I can hear them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll run over and start talking. And I had one time tell me he wanted me to tell his mom, his person, that his sister, when she went in the basement with that boy, was not watching TV.
Oh, what a little snitch.
What a jerk.
He snitched. And she's like, what's he saying? I'm like, he says, Sissy goes in the basement a lot and doesn't always watch TV.
She's in trouble now.
She's in big trouble. Well,
based on how I read, I have a promise to myself that I will say whatever I hear.
Yeah.
And so I'm totally honest in what I hear in the readings or the channels. And it's not always what somebody wants to hear or it's not always easy to say, but you have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my experience with animals.
That's crazy.
That's cool.
I'm going to go after this. And first I'm going to do it with my cat that I like. And then I'm going to go do it to John's cat, my husband's cat that I don't like. And I'm going to send him just like big birds swooping down to get him. And I'm just kidding. I would not do that.
Cats Cats are different than dogs. Dogs want to talk. They want to tell you. Cats watch and decide what they want to say.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And, yeah. And dogs always, always, they want fried chicken. They want fried chicken.
I mean, I've had fried chicken is good. So, like, I get it.
It's up there. It's, I get it, too.
Top five. Especially from the South. Like, that's some good fried chicken from the South.
Like, an owner will say, well, he's not been feeling well. Is there something that can help him? And this dog will say, some tuna juice would be good, or fried chicken.
Tuna juice?
They like, yeah.
Oh, we used to give tuna juice to the cats when they wouldn't eat food. When they got old and they didn't want to eat, we'd give them tuna juice.
Gross.
Tuna juice kept, we had a 21-year-old cat that lived a good 2 to 3 months longer than she should have. We'd give her tuna juice and she'd perk up and be great for 3 days.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it does work.
Yeah. It's gross to me, but they like it.
I mean, I suppose they eat poop. So what do I mean? Exactly. Their taste buds aren't exactly refined.
That's right.
The beauty of it is they can tell you if something hurts or if something doesn't feel right. And that's where it really comes in handy. Like,
that's what I would like to be able to do. Or like when it's time. You know what I mean?
Mm.
At the end, I would love to be able to say, buddy, is it time? Should we, is it, are you okay?
Because that's what you struggle with too, is like, how am I keeping them on for like alive for me or for them? Or
am I ending it for me or for them?
Yes. And that's the worst part about pet ownership.
It is.
You know, it's, you never know. But now you can ask them, apparently.
You can ask them. We had a dog who was struggling. But he was still eating. He still seemed happy. But he was really struggling. And so I took him to another pet communicator that is very, very good. Mm-hmm. And she said his name, she said he's always been afraid to go to the vet. And he had, I always had to force him into the vets. Mm-hmm. And she says, he says he's ready to go now. Mm-hmm. And I said, when? And she said, now. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow. Now? And she says, you'll know he's ready because he'll go up to the door and not balk like he's always done his whole life. And she says he also wants some of those white donuts.
Delicious. So,
yeah. So we made an appointment that afternoon and we took him to the vet and he walked right up to the door, stood there. I opened the door and he walked right straight back to the vet's office, looked right straight at a bag of little white powder sugar donuts that they had, ate them and left.
Oh.
Yeah.
And before then, he was not ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
But that day he was. Yeah. So I'll always be grateful to her for that reason.
Yeah. Of course. Of course.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a gift right there.
Yeah.
It was. It truly was. My whole life's a gift.
Really. Well, tell us more about like what you do, and I read about your education and you're getting these masters and all these things I've never even heard of. So all of that stuff is fascinating to me. Anything you want to talk to us about, I'm happy to hear it.
Well, most of it, most of all those certifications and things, you know, did I actually learn much from it? I don't know. Some things, yes. A lot of them, I don't see the point of them.
Oh, you know, really?
It's much ado about nothing.
Oh, you know? Okay.
For instance, healing.
Mm-hmm.
I have been a Reiki master teacher since 1998. My husband and I were two of the first in the state of Kentucky.
Wow.
And so that's one thing I'm very familiar with. And there's so many kinds, all these healing techniques, but they all boil down to the same thing, which is bringing in universal light, source light, and bringing it through your hands to help someone heal.
Yeah.
No matter what the technique is, no matter how many different ways you learn it or how many other names you give it, what you're doing is using source light and the intent for someone to heal if they're ready to heal. And so a lot of those titles and certifications, and I'm sure this makes a lot of people angry that do these things, and every one of them have worked for them. Let me put that out there. They all deserve those titles and they all do their work. But I've studied so many techniques and realized that most of them are the same thing.
Sure.
So.
Interesting.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
But anyone who tells you that they are healing anyone, are not true healers because no person heals anyone.
Yeah.
No. It's source,
just the vessel
and intent. Exactly. Mm-hmm. They are the vessel. And there's some amazing vessels out there and compassionate ones. But they are the vessel.
Yeah.
And source is healer. Mm-hmm. Energy, vibration, sound, all that is the healing. Mm-hmm. So I'm very much into that stuff. Mm-hmm. But a lot of those titles, you notice in my list, it says, yeah, there's a lot more, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah. that.
Suffice to say that she's here to help you. So,
yeah.
And that's what I do. I made a deal with the universe that as long as my readings were helpful to people, I would continue to do it. And the day it stopped being helpful or the day it became something to me other than being helpful is the day I was done.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So it's like, I feel like I can only do it if my intent is genuine.
Sure. Well, that makes sense. That's, you know, I feel like there are a lot of spirits out there who can tell intent and, you know, so it's
absolutely
good.
Yeah. But I do personal readings sometimes. Yeah. I don't do them a lot anymore.
Sure.
I love doing gallery readings where I'm taking quick questions from a crowd and shooting out quick answers. That's my favorite.
Sure.
That would be fun to do. I would love to attend something like that.
They're fun.
I'm working on connecting more with spirit, but I'm my biggest barrier because I get scared of like what I'm going to let in. So I'm working with one of our shamans that we've met. She's helping me. So it's still scary.
I always say thank you for your protection upon me.
Okay.
Anytime you have something you need from the universe, just ask for it. Mm-hmm. You've got all these entities out there to help you, and they will. They'll protect you. They'll help you. They'll guide you. You just have to ask them.
Yeah.
And the way to ask them, here's how you ask them. I'll tell you the secret to manifestation. Okay. This is the secret that the secret didn't tell anybody. Okay. So when you ask for something from your resources, you say, thank you. That's how you start the sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And then you say what it is as though you already have it.
Okay.
Like, thank you. Yeah. Like, thank you for the additional money that comes to me this week.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is the entities out there don't necessarily speak English or use words.
Yeah.
They feel vibration. They feel energy. They feel electricity. They feel all those things. And so the word thank you is a very high vibrational word. And so they hone in on it instantly. And then when you say it as though you already have it, that evokes an emotion that also emits an energy that draws them right in. So the most expeditious way to manifest is saying it that way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm trying to more like connect with my spirit guides, and there's a few spirits that are watching over me. So that's really my goal, is to, like, I don't want to, you know, do readings or messages or anything. I just want to connect with them. So
for yourself, not
for myself. Yeah.
For your own.
Yeah. Yep.
And you can do that. Talking to them, meditation.
Yeah. I've noticed my dreams have picked up. So I think they communicate with me via dreams, because I've always had, Amy knows, I've always had super, super vivid dreams.
Yeah, the vivid ones are the telling ones.
Yes, okay. I have. Oh my God, so vivid. Anyway, I'm so sorry, Beverly. I totally cut you off from what you were saying about the gallery readings.
Oh, I just enjoy them.
Yeah.
I do one monthly in Elizabethtown at Akashic Awareness, which is a metaphysical store there. Oh, and nice. Then I do them other places as invited.
Yeah.
And at this event in March, we're having a thing called Change Channels, where we have five different people who channel in different techniques, answering people. So we're doing five mini galleries with these five. And so I'm excited to see how other people do it.
That'll be really neat.
Yeah.
You have to let us know how that goes, because I think that would be an interesting.
Well, that will be one of our new shows that we present, is Change Channels.
Mm-hmm.
And so
cool.
We'll get to experience how other people do it.
Yeah.
That's fun. We'll have all the info for that show in the show notes. I wanted to mention one little thing when you mentioned how to ask for things and start with gratitude. I don't know where I saw this. I'm going to guess, wild shot in the dark, that it was probably on TikTok, that somebody suggested what they called a whisper prayer, and that you should say it every night when you go to bed. And the prayer is, thank you for showing me that the issue is already solved.
Oh,
that's a good one.
And to say that three times when you go to bed at night.
That's nice.
I think you only have to say it once, but yeah, oh, really? That's a nice thing to do. Yeah. You don't have to, if you beg them to death or wear them out, they're like, you just really only have to say it, you know, once.
Well, yeah. Good, because right. I felt silly saying it three times.
Well, you constantly have, okay, they don't call themselves angels and guides and guardians. They don't. But that's the words I use because people can identify with that. Right. But everybody comes in with a guardian, a guide, and an angel that stays with them through the whole process and goes out with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then other ones come and go as needed. Mm-hmm. So even though you have one that's always with you, you might have 16 on a given day if it's really stressful and bad. So mm-hmm. they come in as you need them. And then you've got family members too, but they can't do nearly what the angels, guides, and guardians can do. So if people knew how much stuff is in the room with them, they'd freak out.
I know. I think about that every once in a while. And I'm like, there's probably people in my room right now that I can't see.
Yeah.
And I try not to be freaked out by that. But
mm-hmm.
Well, let me say one thing. People get freaky because when they're in the shower or something, they're afraid. They don't see us as human bodies. They see us as energy. So yeah. Just so you know.
So they're not watching you wash your armpits.
No. Yeah. I mean, no, they could care less.
Yeah.
Yeah, they care less.
I mean,
yeah.
There's a lot to see here, but also nothing to see. So
exactly.
I just wanted to ask how you define the difference between guides, angels, and what was the other one?
Guardians.
Well, the angels, I think they are a specific type of soul that have never been human.
Okay.
And their purpose is to help us along.
Okay.
Guardians and guides have been human.
Okay.
When we transition, when we cross over, they still do jobs, so to speak. They call them honors. And so guides and guardians are people whose honors it is to be with you and help. So they have been human, but angels have not.
Okay. Interesting.
And these are not necessarily people that you've known in your lifetime.
No, not necessarily.
As your human lifetime. Are they the same spirits that go with you as you go into different lives, or is that something you believe? Is that we have spirit or soul families that we keep going back down here to work with?
What they've told me is that we kind of have these little pods of 60 to 600 souls, or 6,000. Six is the number for some reason, which is interesting when you 666. But anyway, they don't all come in with each life, but certain ones will work with each other as you work out your life contract before you come back in.
Sure.
I want to say here that nobody has to come back in. That's our choice.
Mm-hmm.
But then you'll work with these other entities to come in and help. They might be an enemy in this life. Mm-hmm. They're a soul you know and love on the other side, but they're here to assist you in what you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of them are people, our souls you've worked with, but not all of them.
Okay.
At least that's how they've explained it to me.
Sure. Well, I mean, awesome. They would know the best, so.
It's also fascinating to me.
It's something I struggle with too, because I'm a Christian and so I believe in heaven. And so if we go to heaven and then they're saying we can come back, that kind of contradicts the faith. So it's tricky for me to struggle with that.
It's definitely heaven. Here is one thing, as someone of faith, there is no hell. None. It doesn't exist. But what does exist is when we transition, mm-hmm. we go over at different levels. Now, I can talk to people up to about the seventh or eighth level. Beyond that, I have to really work to communicate with them because they're so energetically huge at that point. So we don't go to hell, but we go. So what they've told me, everybody thinks when you die that you see this film of your life.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what you do.
Mm-hmm.
What you do is you experience every emotion you ever made another human being feel. Good or bad. It could be the server, it could be mm-hmm. the Uber driver, it could be the neighbor. every emotion you make another human being feel, you have to experience in your review. Mm-hmm. And to me, for some people, that would be hell.
Yeah.
Feeling those emotions and hurts and frustration and joys. So you feel mm-hmm. it all, good or bad. And that is your life review. And then based on that, you sort of determine what mm-hmm. you want to do. Mm-hmm. So it's the same soul. They just come in different organic sure. bodies. So here's another thing in talking about other lives. Mm-hmm. The past and present and future are all happening at the same time, just at different vibrations. They're like,
it's so hard for me to wrap my head around, yeah. but I know
it makes my brain
tough. It's mm-hmm. tough. It is tough. And so some of those lives, what we're thinking of is coming back into another life. We're already in that life, in the past yeah. or the present. And it's all at once. So are we coming back into, it's kind of like we're just hopping around different places.
Sure. We've and wondered that too. Like we've wondered when people see, a Civil War person, like a spirit, like what if we're not seeing the spirit? What if we're seeing that person existing in their life in the 1700s or 1800s mm-hmm. and then they're seeing us? And so we've all kind of had that.
Like, that girl dresses weird.
Yeah, she's wearing yeah. pantaloons.
Sometimes that is the case. You're kind of mm-hmm. slipping in to the yeah. past or the future. Other times you're just in the zone, and so mm-hmm. it's visible to you. And sometimes they choose to be visible mm-hmm. to us. And then sometimes they just don't even see us at all.
Sure.
Most of the ones that are in our houses are just walking through or going around. They don't even really see us. They're just
almost
in
like
there.
Residual.
Exactly. And a lot of them are residual.
Yeah.
So so it's all mind boggling.
It is. It makes really my brain hurt. I don't have the capacity.
I love it.
I do, but it scares me. But it also doesn't. Like, I had a guardian for about 10 years, Frank, and I was always afraid of him, but it turns out he was protecting me. And I honestly think he got me out of situations that would have ended poorly for me if he hadn't intervened.
He may actually have been your angel.
He might be. They said, so I had an investigative team come in. Oh my gosh, Amy, what was this? Like 8 years ago, 9 years ago,
yeah,
maybe even
least.
10.
I think it was before I met you, and I met you 9, 10 years ago. So, yeah. Yeah.
So I had the spirit that followed me. So I lived in the Middle East and it followed me there. And I had these horrifically terrifying nightmares over there. And so I would see a man coming out and walking around my bedroom. And so I brought this investigative team in and they spoke to him with dowsing rods and they found out his name was Frank and he was from the 1800s in Wisconsin, which I went to school in Wisconsin, so that's where he encountered me. And he said I reminded him of his sister, and so that's why he kind of attached onto me and was protecting me, and so they helped him move on. But I saw him many, many, many times, and he was always... I always got the like puzzlement from him when he would like inspect things. So it was scary to me because I didn't know that he was not mean, but he was
not
nice.
Bad. Yeah. He was protecting.
He was, he was.
It's really funny. I who talk to dead people, see dead people at the Thomas house on that investigation when it sat on the bed.
Mm-hmm. Did you see something or?
Well, it was my husband was already asleep. It was about 4 a.m. when we decided to go to bed. And I was laying there just trying to wind down and relax.
Sure.
And I heard this creak mm-hmm. on the floors. It's a very old building. And then I felt the bottom of the bed go down. And I thought, okay, I already told you guys, you are not allowed to invade my space.
Yeah.
And
you're like, I just want to go to bed.
Mm-hmm. Well, but I was terrified. You know,
sure.
A good investigator would have gotten, grabbed their phone and started taking pictures. I, on the other hand, put the covers up over me.
And, Beverly, you and I are friends. That. You and I are friends. Yeah.
Well, I said, Jim, my husband's, to see if he had done something, but he was sawing logs. He was out cold.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the phone in this old hotel, the nightstand was so far away, I would have had gotten up to get the phone.
Sure.
And so I said, you have to leave. You have to leave. And I felt to get up. And I thought, okay, good. And I was not calm. I was yeah. saying, you have to get up. You have yeah. to leave. You can't invade my space. And I was almost asleep and felt it sit down again.
That stinker.
And I felt it bounce a little.
Oh, my God.
And rude. I said, get the out of my you have no right to be here. Mm-hmm. And it jumped up, and I heard the creaks. That place is amazing.
So wow. Your husband goes with you. Does he have abilities too?
He is a very amazing energy worker.
Really?
Some people would call him a dragon meister, which means he works with that kind of energy.
Okay, very I've never heard energy. Of that. That is
either.
The most amazing thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, he works with that kind of energy, that intense, strong, yeah. big energy.
Okay.
Very good. He's pretty amazing that way, and I'm really yeah. blessed that he gets into this with me, because yeah. he didn't know this about me when we met 44 years ago.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't know this about me. I just thought my life was different. I didn't know how different.
Mm-hmm.
So you asked me earlier what was the first thing I remember, the first time. Yeah. And I don't remember it, but my parents told me, they're both gone now. But I had a little dog named Tammy. Uh-huh. And Tammy and Mom and Dad and I were up on this little hill having a little picnic.
Cute.
And Tammy took off for the road, and Tammy got hit by a car.
Oh, no.
Oh, Tammy. No.
And Mom grabbed me and took me into the house quickly before I could realize.
Yeah.
She told me I was two. And my dad had to put Tammy down.
Oh, my God. She didn't die?
No, but she was terrible.
Yeah.
And he had to help, because back then that's what you
yeah.
did.
Yeah, of course.
And he came back in, and Mom said he was just devastated.
Oh.
And she said, I went over to him and patted his hand and says, it's okay, Daddy. Tammy's right there. So I could see her spirit.
Wow.
And
wow.
Yeah. So that was, but then not a lot between then and much later in my life.
Yeah.
I just always thought that I had the ability to see the bigger picture in things. I didn't realize I was psychic and knowing things.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought I was really smart at seeing how
well,
things
you
work.
Are smart, Beverly. Don't sell yourself short.
It took finding my tool before I kept having all these other psychics say, you're supposed to be reading. And I'd say, how? And this one would say, it's in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tried palmistry, and I thought, that's not for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not structured enough for something like that.
Yeah.
And it dawned on me that my entire life I always doodled in school and work, mm-hmm. wherever I was, I doodled.
Oh.
And when I read, I doodle.
Oh.
So that puts me in the mind zone to be able to connect.
What is it that Cindy did
Cindy Kaza on the
Cindy
Dead Files.
Cindy Kaza on the Dead Files.
She
would
draws,
do.
Yeah.
yeah. So
she does the
similar
spirit
to that.
She does automatic writing.
Yeah.
That's
and
what
I think
it is.
She,
thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah. Automatic writing.
Thank that's you. What that's what it was.
And she might doodle a picture too. Mm-hmm.
She does. She makes spirit pictures. Yeah.
Yeah. She does. Mine are literally just crazy doodles and words and numbers that come out and, and help feed me information.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think what it does is that it quiets one side of the brain so the other side can do its work.
That makes sense a lot.
I've heard there's studies that show that if you really want to like think or get like really good brain energy going, to do something super mundane like wash the dishes, because it kind of frees your brain up. So maybe something like doodling, which is mundane, it doesn't really require a lot of thought, kind of opens up your brain.
Meditation, that's what it is. It's just focusing on one thing to the point that you're not thinking of anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the most powerful tool. I don't care what you want to do.
Sure. So, yeah, definitely.
At least to me. That's the deciding difference for me.
Yeah.
So it's cool.
Fascinating.
It's all cool. It's all
it is.
Fascinating.
It,
it's
I mean,
all
we
fun.
Could, yeah.
And luckily in what I do, I meet so many other fascinating people. you know, who are far more, you know, this one might be the best psychic I've ever seen, or the best ghost communicator I've ever seen.
Or the best dragon master.
Or the best, exactly. He is the best. There's no doubt about
that. Yeah, for sure.
Obviously. I knew it the first time I met him. I said, he is the best.
They're the people who hold back the weather and do really amazing big things. Yeah.
I'm going to have to look into that. You said it was called Dragon Meister?
That's what I call it and what I've been told to call it.
Okay.
I don't think there's a lot of people who want to work with dragon energy, but I don't think they realize that you actually can. I don't think they realize that dragons exist just at another vibration.
Sure.
So yeah, I didn't know that.
There's all kinds of entities that exist that we can't see with our eyes because they're at another vibration. Mm-hmm. They're at another energetic level. And there's so many things. I mean, it's just crazy. Yeah. But it's like the unicorns, you know. Oh. Yeah, unicorns did exist or do.
Well, they are.
I don't know if they do. I don't know if they still do. I haven't seen one.
They are the national animal of Scotland. So
I thought that was the haggis.
No.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
I've had it. It's not that bad. Just don't think about what's inside.
Okay. Well, I'll just trust you on that.
If you've ever eaten a hot dog, you're fine.
I'll trust you.
I've had it. Chili dog craving for 2 weeks. I don't know what that's all about. I'm definitely not pregnant. I did.
You should have one then if your body is. Was it the best chili dog you've ever had?
It was incredible.
Is there cheese on top of that too, or is it just the dog and the chili and the bun?
Normally I would go for chili, cheese, and onions, but this one, just the chili.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And mustard.
Of course.
Oh. Okay.
Did you make it at home or where'd you get it?
It was a Sam's hot dog made at home. It was Brookdale chili, which is a hot dog chili is really good.
Yeah.
And I didn't know until I tried it that it was really good, but it was.
Discovered something new.
Yeah, I did. Something I probably did not need to discover.
You know what? I was going to say only live once, but no, you don't. So enjoy this life.
In this life.
Exactly.
You're only Beverly once.
Exactly.
Exactly. Well, I can tell Amy that she's had 283 lives.
Holy shit.
And I can tell Megan that she's had 302.
What?
Holy shit. Sorry. I'm sorry, Beverly.
Oh, that's okay. No, does not bother me.
Was rude.
I was going to say, we haven't sworn yet.
Which is odd for us because usually we're.
It's odd for me, but I try to be on good behavior.
We're F-bomb
this. Don't worry about it. You can say whatever you want.
That's insane.
So how do you know these?
Because they just told me.
The numbers just came to you? Did it say anything about us having lives together before? Because we've been told that we've been told that by multiple people.
You have. Ask one second. Seventeen
together.
Over time, 17.
Wow.
Some very short, some very long, and of course, you know, we come in all kinds of shapes, forms, colors, sizes, sexes, whatever.
Right.
At different times. That's so they're telling 17.
That's crazy.
That's so
cool. Thank them for telling you.
I think it's been about 4 lives though since you have. So it's been a while before you've come back in together.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, they're saying 4 lives ago was the last one.
Oh, 4 lives ago. Okay.
Yeah, we've been told by every medium we've talked to that we've been friends. This isn't our first round together. Mm-hmm. Every single one we've talked to has said that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've been told that one of the spirits I have is a little girl that I had before who passed away.
That could be.
Her name was Rosie. Because one medium said that Amy and I went to see, we had a group reading, and she's like, I see a little girl next to you. And she's like, you're going to have a daughter. And I'm like, well, you better be looking at someone else because we closed for business. Like, we are not doing any more.
This is a little personal ask, but did you ever have a miscarriage?
Not that I know of.
You could have had one of those early ones. Yeah, I'm feeling like it's more of that. Yeah, I feel like it's more that.
Yeah, I've only had one known pregnancy, and he's upstairs recovering from a meltdown. Yeah. So, but
I have a feeling like this, that soul, which they'll show themselves as male or female, but they come to me as masculine or feminine energies, which doesn't necessarily apply to male, female. But a lot of times when that happens, when there is a miscarriage, they'll come back in later with the full term child. And that's what she feels like to me.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. That's what she feels like. So I think it's the same soul.
Okay.
It was going to come in there one way or another.
Sure. I mean, So. Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm honestly glad I didn't know I had a miscarriage, because I feel like that's something very tough that I'm glad I didn't have to endure.
Well, the angels, the souls that are coming into the fetus are the ones that decide.
Okay.
They don't come into the fetus completely until the first breath.
Okay.
And then they're permanently in the body.
Yeah.
Before that, they'll come and check the pregnancy. They'll see if situations are still how they need to be where they want to be, with who they need to be with, to make it all work. And sometimes sometimes they're like, oh, this fetus is not healthy. Yeah. We need to do something here. Or sometimes it'll be like, maybe this isn't the family I was supposed to come into anyway.
Yeah.
You know, and so they decide, even to the point of abortion, they will push the mother. It's interesting how much say-so they have about that process.
Yeah. That's crazy.
And at least that's what I've been told.
Yeah. Again, I trust them. I mean, they know.
It makes a ton of sense. It really does.
It does. Yeah.
It really does to me. And to me, I think it gives comfort.
Yes.
That people understand the reason. And I think it's very important that people understand that in a miscarriage, that it was, the soul was not there permanently.
Mm-hmm.
And so the soul wasn't lost.
Yeah.
The organic.
And it wasn't
matter,
the mother's fault, and it's nothing she did.
Nothing they could do. Nothing. I mean, there are some who obviously can do something, but that would be rare.
Yeah.
But normally.
That's interesting. I can't believe that I've, how many? 302 lives?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. I mean,
you totally won. Mine was like 200 something.
It's like, I think yours was 283, but I don't remember exactly.
We're recording now.
It was close. Okay. We're close.
I can go back and look at it.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll go back and listen.
Yeah. It's interesting. I try not to connect when I'm doing something like that because I'll just kind of
break.
And, but I guess they felt like you all needed to know those things.
So, yeah, I guess so. Well, thank you for telling us that. We appreciate it.
Well, it's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's fun.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to all be scary or weird or a lot of it's fun.
And I think one thing that I've noticed is a common theme just watching the show and my own experiences is people tend to think everything's evil. Like even me, I thought Frank was evil and I thought he was bad. And in the end, it's just, you just don't understand it.
Right. We're just,
and so I think trying to understand, you know, like now when I have these dreams or when I, you know, I'm like, oh, you're not evil. You're just trying to tell me something. And so that, I think that helps. But yeah, that's what I've noticed is anytime somebody has any sort of paranormal experience, they're like, it's evil. It's trying to kill me. And it's like, nah, but it might not be evil.
Might not be. Just think about this. Think about what an effort it takes for something to come through and say words to you or be seen by you or to move something. So a normal voice, if it's coming through umpteen vibrations and ethers and spaces and time, might come out as, you know, and sound pretty mean, but it doesn't mean it is. And then what I have found is that the ones that are mean are the ones who were mean humans to begin with.
Yes.
And so they're mean ghosts.
Yeah.
And most of the ghosts weren't particularly mean. They might, but you're, see, I don't believe in demons, but I do feel like there are human beings evil enough that in that death and that existence in that plane can become denser and denser and denser and denser until they're super evil humans. Mm-hmm. And I think those are the ones that people call out as as demon.
Mm-hmm. So
that's
like that.
My perspective anyway.
Thank you for listening. The Activity Continues. We'll be back after this short break. Hi, friends. Do us and yourselves a favor and check out our affiliate, Three Spirit Drinks. They create plant-based, non-alcoholic elixirs that are cruelty-free and vegan. And they are designed to give you some of the benefits of alcohol without the hangover and other side effects. If you're looking to cut down on alcohol but still want the buzz, check them out. The link is us.threespiritdrinks.com and use the promo code THEACTIVITYCONTINUES for 15% off your entire order.
Yeah, I mean, every ghost we've seen in the show, The Dead Files, that's mean as a spirit was mean in life.
Was mean in life.
There's never been one where it's like, well, she was just the sweetest person in life and then she died and became a bitch. And
yeah.
Like, it was never like that.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. And some ghosts have transitioned. And I have five ghosts that travel with me. They don't all five come at the same time. But when I'm doing galleries, there are five ghosts. But of the five, three are true ghosts. They have not transitioned. The other two have transitioned but come back to work with the three that they care about.
Oh.
And so they're nurses from Waverly Hills.
Oh, wow.
And I did some work over there. We did an event over there. It's a haunted location in Louisville. And
it was a sanatorium or sanitarium, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Sanatorium. Tuberculosis. Huge,
it's
massive.
Pretty famous. Yeah, I think the ghost hunters have been there, and I know Katrina and
I bet it's super duper haunted.
They've all been there. Yeah, they've all been there. Mm-hmm. And we did an event over there as a fundraiser for the director that was there at the time. And I did a gallery there, and there was this one particular nurse in this little shed. Little pink sweater on over her uniform that had these three-quarter length sleeves, and she's been showing up ever since at my galleries. But she told me that she has transitioned. Yeah. She just comes back to help her friends who have it.
Oh,
so
that's
really
sweet.
Is.
Yeah,
and so but they show up at galleries often. So or one or two, or maybe sometimes all five.
So when they show up, are they like, do they like stand next to you? Are they kind of out in the crowd? Are they, do you just feel them?
They stand against the back.
How do they make their presence?
I can see them against the back wall. And that pink sweater really jumps out. Yeah. That's like the key. At the gallery I do at Akashic Awareness in E-Town every month, the building used to be a biker bar. And there's a biker that comes to every gallery. Oh. He hangs out in the corner. And he just laughs and cracks up and, you know. He just has a big time with it.
I love it.
So,
That's so fun.
He comes every time. And just that's his place. And he just thinks it's hilarious.
Yeah.
So. Does he ever speak to you and give you messages? Or do the nurses ever give you messages for anybody in the room or anything like that?
The nurses gave me information for things at Waverly, but not for anything else.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kind of laughs and cracks up. He doesn't really give me any messages. When I do a gallery, when I'm reading individuals, I'm talking to their angels, guides, guardians, late family, friends.
Mm-hmm.
When I do a bigger gallery or when I'm on my vessels page where I let people ask these random non-personal questions about anything in the universe, those I talk to a group I call the council. And that's a whole different game plan.
That's a that's a whole other episode. Next time
that's
we talk.
The council. For instance, people ask questions like, was there ever a Noah's Ark? And so we got that answer. Or where is Jimmy Hoffa? We got that answer. But I'm not. I don't want dark cars blown up at my front door.
Right. Was there ever a Noah's Ark?
Yes, there was. But the way they explained it was that, yes, the flood was coming. Yes, Noah gathered. But said, remember when it was that Noah gathered his farm animals, the animals that he knew, because of course he wasn't aware in that date and time, all the animals in the world, and that the flood did flood as far as he saw the world being which was however many hectates or however they measured. And so maybe it was 150 miles, and but to him, that was the world.
Right, right.
And so
yeah,
it was biblical to him in the sense that it was everything he knew.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, yes, they said it did occur. That was the story.
Wow. So that's,
yeah.
That makes sense. It did. Puts it in perspective. I mean, it's very much a story, I think, to put in perspective of what we think the world is, or what we think is a major whatever, is could only be a piece of the puzzle. But to us, we don't know anymore. So it's,
but they said he did. So
makes sense. Yeah.
That's, I mean, I get some good questions. Yeah. I get UFO. I get questions on everything.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Everything.
The Jimmy Hoffa one is a good one too.
He's under a highway, and I won't say where.
Under a highway.
Where he's located. Okay.
Minnesota.
Well, you're safe from Hoffa.
He's not here. So.
We're north, and it's cold.
Well, it's been cold here until today. It was like much nicer.
It's okay today.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's 33 out right now. That is a heat wave.
That is.
I know.
Go to the shorts on.
My daughter lives outside Dallas, Texas, and it was 4 there the other day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, we had 19 below last week. I went outside and my forehead froze immediately. My nose hairs froze.
Yeah. I hate the feeling of your nose hairs freezing. I hate it.
Awful. I would not like that.
No.
I would not like that at all.
No. It feels like you have boogers in your nose. But there's nothing in there. That's what it feels like.
It hurt to blink my eyes because my eyes, the water in my eyes got so cold.
It's, you know, it's dangerous. I mean, it is.
It's that's why I let my dogs out and I'm like, potty, quick.
We should have sent them pictures. Send them pictures next time.
I'm sure they don't waste much time anyway.
No.
No, they don't.
Yeah. Except Digby, whose two brain cells are fighting for third place.
He's too busy out there eating poops. He's not coming in for nothing.
Yeah, I don't know if either of you watched Saturday Duty Night Live this week, but they did a scene. They were in the dog park, and it's one of the funnier things I've seen on Saturday Night Live. So they were dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
all right. No,
I highly recommend it. I laughed out loud.
Yeah, I recorded it. I just haven't watched it yet.
That's too late for me.
I did.
I don't watch it. I'm in long sleep.
We watched it last night. But I recorded it. It was just hilarious.
Yeah.
Nice.
So
I'm like, the sun's down. Time for bed. Yep. That's why winter's rough for me. The sun's down at 4:30.
Oh, I know. And I'm so excited because all of a sudden it's light after 5:30 right here, right now. So that's big because it was getting dark at 4:30. So
it's terrible.
I'm very excited the day's.
Yeah.
This morning, I woke up and it was like bowing to the sun, you know, thank you.
My son, when we wake up, he's 4 and he opens the curtains. And he goes, Mommy, the sun's awake. And I'm like, it's awake time now. The sun's time for the sun to get up.
That's
and
sweet.
Go.
What's sweet is that, he knows gratitude and joy in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the cool part.
Yeah,
he's aware
and innocent.
And aware. He may be young enough to tell you about his most recent past life. When they're 3, 4, whenever they can clearly say the words they need to say, and he may almost be too old. Mm-hmm. Around 3 is the best time. But you can say to a child, do you remember when you were big? And that's all you have to say.
Okay.
Now,
I'm going
to
ask him.
What they'll do is they'll look down like, I'm not supposed to talk about that. You know, they'll kind of blow you off and ignore you. But if you catch them like just before they go to sleep or something like that, my grandson told us that he was my husband's brother, and he went into deep description about the farm they lived on and how they ate dried fish in the winter because there wasn't other things, and how they peed behind the barn and how they had to turn off the lights at night so nobody would come and burn their cabin down. I mean,
jeez,
he went in and he was, you know. And when he was 2 or 3, he and my husband were in the bathroom, and he looked up at my husband. Mm-hmm. He said, Pops, when did you get so much bigger than me? Because he was the older, bigger brother.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, I will say, he has been saying for probably a year, I want to go home.
Oh, wow.
It's time to go home.
Oh, wow. Oh. Yeah. Ask him where.
And I'll say, I do. I say, buddy, where's home? Where do you want to go? Because we'll be like, well, you are home, like just an mm-hmm. automatic response. Mm-hmm. But every time he says that, I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, he means somewhere mm-hmm. else.
Yeah.
And it's all right. I want to go home. And it's always before bedtime.
That's when they get in that zone where they remember.
I want to go home. It's time to go home, mommy.
Well, it.
Like, okay, buddy, where's home? Where's home?
And he doesn't. What does he say when you say where's home?
But I think it's because we keep telling him, you are home, buddy. Like, you are home.
He's just about maybe around 5 or 6. They kind of forget all that. So, but hopefully, he still remembers.
He's kind of behind in speech, so I still might be able to get it out of him because he's just now starting to be able to like vocalize his thoughts. But he's been saying that for about a year. Mommy, I want to go home. Daddy, it's time to go home.
When I worked on the horse farm, the owner had a son who insisted he'd been a fighter pilot. And we thought he was just emulating his grandfather who had been a fighter
pilot. Sure.
And so one day I asked him, I said, do you remember what your tail number was or what your plane's name was? He told us and we looked it up and we found it. He told us his name.
Wow.
And we found it.
Wow. So did
crazy.
It go down?
It did.
Was he killed in action?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It did. Wow. And once I was at we used to volunteer at a wildlife refuge and I had just learned this trick of asking little ones if they remembered when they were big. So, and I found it fascinating. And I asked a little girl that I thought she was 4 at least, maybe 5. She was only 3. And I asked her if she remembered when she was big. And she said, yes. She said, I was the mom and she was the little kid. And she said, and then just like a butterfly, I just metamorphosized, and here I am.
Wow.
That's a big word.
I thought so.
That
I
is.
Thought so.
Yeah.
And so I was stunned when I found out what age she was.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to ask him that now, maybe tomorrow night, because I think he's already in bed. It was his first day of pre-K today, so he's had a big
that
day.
That is a big day. That's serious business. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. But I've always noticed that. And I'm like, I wonder where home is to him.
Well, at some point, he'll quit saying it because he'll just won't remember. So it would be good to ask him.
Yeah.
But instead of asking about home, just say, do you remember when you were big?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it may take a couple times.
I will, and I'll let you know what he says.
It may take a couple times because, like I say, they seem like they know they're not supposed to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But... pretty amazing. Animals, of course, can see things we can't, and little ones can see things we can't.
Yes. When he was a baby, he would always, and I would tell Amy this, he would always look in the corner and smile mm-hmm. like he could see people up there, and he would smile mm-hmm. at them.
Absolutely. That's where you'll find your grandmothers and things coming in, and your late family members coming and being with those little ones, and you'll see those little ones communicate or light up.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can show them pictures later and they'll say, oh, that's Meemaw. And you're like, you've never seen Meemaw. How do you know this?
The thing is, the mediums we've seen have said it's my mom's mom. And she passed in 73 before my mom and dad got married. So we don't have any like older pictures of her. But yeah, it's her for sure and my grandma. But yeah, he would just be looking up in the corner and smiling. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, he for sure saw people
They also see their angels and their guides and they see all those things. And they're just fascinating.
It's sad that we lose that.
It really is.
Well, I mean,
it is really sad that we lose that.
You know, people in galleries ask me, what's my purpose? Why am I here? And they won't tell us because they want us not to focus.
That's deep.
Yeah, it is. What they tell me is that people's egos, that they would get so fixated on their purpose. Why is my purpose not as important as her purpose? How come she gets that purpose? And they're all equally important, vital reasons to be here. But, you know, maybe your purpose is to cure cancer. And that's a pretty big purpose. But maybe your purpose is to stop a kid from riding out in front of a car on his bicycle.
Yeah.
That kid might be the one that cures cancer.
To cure cancer.
So that's why they won't tell us.
It's all connected. Yeah.
Because people's egos would get in the way.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
That tracks. Mm-hmm. That tracks. Yeah.
So, for sure.
It's all fascinating.
Wow. This has been all so fascinating. And we're getting close to our time. So I just want to give you an opportunity to tell people where to find you if they would like to get in contact with you for a reading or anything else. Other services.
As far as readings, it's beverlymcchesney.com. Pretty easy there. They can book appointments there or learn more about me. The event production company is the one I have the most fun with, and that is mamarubies.com. Yeah. And it shows all the events that are coming up and going on. And we love all our vendors and their events. And so that one's a good one there. Our paranormal group is in that website. But we don't really tell much about ourselves. So we'll talk about our research or experiences. Anyway, most of it is in the website except beverlymcchesney.com.
Okay.
I will tell you. I'll tell you one really quick.
Please.
We were traveling back from Texas, and we had the back of our SUV full of Christmas presents, and we were just exhausted, and we had to get a hotel. And at this point, I knew he worked with Dragon Energy, but I hadn't really. This was quite some time ago, and he says it's okay. I was worried about the stuff in the car, and we didn't really want to unload the whole car. And because it was a questionable hotel neighborhood that we finally found a place in. And he says, it'll be fine. I'll take care of it. So in the nighttime, I get up and I look out the window. And around our car, I see this giant dragon sitting on top of it with its wings around it and its head down, sleeping, protecting.
Oh, my gosh. Shut
up. So the next morning, I get up and he says, everything's fine. I put a dragon around it.
What color was the dragon?
Kind of gray blue. More blue. Oh, more blue than anything.
That is beautiful. Was it like the dragons that like we think of, like the medieval dragons?
Kind of, yeah, pretty much. Pretty much that way.
Wow.
And it would just had its wings around it. And it was just.
And I love how he's like, it's no big deal. I'll just throw a dragon on it. Like, don't worry.
Let's put a dragon on it. It'll be good.
I'll brush my teeth. I'll lock the car. And then I'll throw a dragon on it.
And he did. I mean, At that point, he just started saying things like that. And so I really wasn't paying that much attention and looked out that night and saw it. And it's like, oh, whoa, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Wow. So,
I wonder what would have happened if somebody had come and tried to break into that car.
It would not have been broken into.
Would not have ended well for them.
I know, but I'm just wondering what that person would experience.
I don't know. Would it just be a shield where they couldn't?
Yeah.
Or would it literally fling them backwards?
Yeah.
Would it?
Yeah, it could be as simple as the door wouldn't break.
Exactly.
Or would they get a feeling? Like if they thought, I should break into this car, would they then get a feeling like, no, don't, like a bad feeling?
I think if they had a brain at all, they would get such an intense energy off of it. It'd be like, nah, that's not the one tonight. No.
I love how you said if they had a brain.
Sorry,
they might not have. I mean,
they might not.
There's a lot of people.
Some people I talk to, I question. Yeah, exactly. I question every day. Like, how are you an adult?
How do you tie your shoes?
Yeah. Thank you all so much. It's been a blast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It was so delightful.
This was a lot of
fun.
And I will let you know what Jordan says.
I really want to know. I really.
I do too. I do too.
And I hope he will be forthcoming because it will be fascinating.
Mm-hmm. He is. I mean, we have a pretty decent relationship as a four and a mom. But
you just had an orb go behind you. Just
really?
A little bit. Did you
I was
going to
say I saw something.
I don't think it was a bug.
I saw it.
I don't think it was a bug.
Oh.
It flew like what I saw was like it went like this.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't think it was a bug or anything.
I hope it was a nice one.
Hello. I should send you all my video of an entity walking through our living room or the fairies.
Please.
So.
Yeah.
Please. You
know, fairies exist.
Send us whatever you want us to see because we will eat it up.
Like, I'll take some time and find some things and you all can play with it.
Well, Beverly, this was so, thank you so much for taking the time. We really,
really appreciate
the
opportunity. It was fun.
Oh, good. It was good. Delightful. Well, okay. Have a great night and stay warm. Yeah. And
I'm going to go eat some chicken.
I'll let you know.
All's good in the world.
Or, ooh, that sounds good.
Yeah, or fried chicken.
There you go.
Thank you, ladies.
Take care, Beverly. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye. All right. That was our talk with Beverly McChesney. We had a great time talking to her.
It was
lots of insights.
We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did because she was a delight.
She was. She was really
great.
Sweet.
Topics. We learned about dragon masters or dragon meisters.
We did. And the next episode that we are going to be doing is another recap. It is Megan's Choice. It is called Battlefield and it is season 2, episode 23. So that'll be the next one.
So
we
tune in to hear that.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Activity Continues podcast. We really appreciate you giving us your ears for a bit. Please feel free to drop us a note and say hi. And join us next time when the activity continues.
Nailed it.